This cannot be the norm. It cannot be the way that we deal with our political differences. Now's the time for us to recommit to the core values of this country. Talk to a neighbor rather than arguing. Debate an issue. Shake hands. Find common ground. It's not about hatred. It's not about mean tweets. It's not about demeaning someone. It's leading with grace and compassion and vision and compromise and decency. But we will need to do it in just more than actions in a memorial, conducting ourselves in the spirit that Melissa Hortman did her work is what the country needs to heal.
Thank you, Governor. I agree.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. To the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast. That's heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, up in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, stay dry and safe, everyone in Fairmont. Janesville, Wisconsin's WADRN, Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites, Blanketing Planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow and freedom fighter from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us. Boy, I'll tell you what, going into this past weekend, late last week, well, we all knew it was going to be a weird one, a very weird weekend with an almost certainly bizarre split screen on the cable news channels on Saturday featuring, I guess we could call them dueling marches, thousands of them around the country, demonstrations against Donald Trump in so-called No Kings protests, even as Trump was using the U.S. Army to help him celebrate his 79th birthday with an authoritarian-styled military parade on the streets of D.C. in front of the White House. So we knew there was going to be that weird split screen. We did not know, however, that it would turn into a quadrabox. I'm not sure if that's the right word for four different stories all ongoing at the same time. Quadrabox, does that work, Desi Doyen?
It works for me, sure. Right. Why not?
That was with the demonstrations against Trump and his military parade and an attack by Israel on Iran as of Friday night and an all-out manhunt in Minnesota following an horrific overnight political assassination spree by a supporter of Donald Trump as Saturday dawned. All four stories would dominate the weekend headlines. All four stories would not have happened at all, none of them, were it not for Donald Trump. But since the most important and enduring story from the weekend will likely, or at least hopefully, be the remarkable and inspiring No Kings marches that turned out millions of courageous, patriotic Americans in every state in the Union and some overseas as well. And since I suspect many of our listeners today participated in those marches and demonstrations, and since I'd love to hear from some of the folks who did, how it went, what you saw, why you went, what your message is to Donald Trump and the world on Saturday. And today, as we start a new week, I'm going to open up the phones to callers today at 818-985-5735. If you are in our live Southern California listening area in or around L.A., or if you happen to be listening anywhere around the world via our kpfk.org live web stream today. What was your message on Saturday? What did you see? What's your message for the nation and the world today? 818-985-KPFK. Before that remarkable and passionate display of freedom of speech disappears into the history books. Let's document it, shall we? Over our public airwaves. I should also note that just an hour or so before our final show last week, California's U.S. Senator Alex Padilla had been roughed up, pushed out of a news conference being held out here in Los Angeles by Donald Trump's Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. He was thrown to the ground in the hallway outside the room by FBI officials, and he was handcuffed after daring to try and ask Noem a question in response to her remarks for the camera in the wake of Trump's almost certainly unlawful deployment of nearly 5,000 military troops right now to the streets of L.A. in defiance of the governor and the Los Angeles mayor as part of Trump's intensifying military-style ICE roundup of migrants in and around Los Angeles. Here were the specific remarks from Kristi Noem that touched Senator Padilla off, and you can hear him in the background at the end of this clip, just as Noem's goons were beginning to descend on him as she continued her obnoxious remarks at the same time.
The Department of Homeland Security and the officers and the agencies and the departments and the military people that are working on this operation will continue to sustain and increase our operations in this city. We are not going away. We are staying here to liberate this city from the socialist and the burdensome leadership that this governor and that this mayor have placed on this country and what they have tried to insert into this city. So I want to say thank you to every single person that has been able to do this. Also, I want to talk.
There you go. That's what she was saying at the moment that Senator Padilla had a question. She was saying that she was there and that federal agents were there in Los Angeles, would not leave because they were here to liberate this city from the socialist and the burdensome leadership that this governor and this mayor have placed on this country.
And nobody seems to really be focusing on just how unprecedented those remarks from Secretary Noem are to liberate the democratically elected
exactly.
leaders from the city that elected
yep.
them. I think that is... That's just really shocking and dismaying.
For those of us here in Los Angeles, absolutely maddening. Keeping in mind that we are on FCC radio, where obscene language restrictions are still in place, if those of you here in Southern California and specifically in Los Angeles have any thoughts or response to the head of DHS and what she said there about that they are here to liberate us from the elected officials that we elected, well, I would welcome those calls as well. I'd love to hear from you at 818-985-5735. We'll get to your calls in a bit. But Melissa Hortman, who was assassinated overnight on Friday night and into Saturday morning in Minnesota, as you heard Governor Tim Walz discussing at the top of the show, along with her husband, she was the Speaker of the Minnesota House in the 2023 to 2024 session when Democrats ran the state government with a trifecta. For the first time in many, many years, it was a period that became known as the Minnesota Miracle for all of the progressive legislation. An astounding amount of progressive legislation passed once Democrats had control of both chambers of the state legislature and the governor's mansion. And yet they passed this with an incredibly narrow Democratic advantage in the legislature that resulted in Hortman taking a leading role in shepherding the many landmark reforms that Democrats had adopted over that period in Minnesota. It is, as Bolt's magazine editor-in-chief Daniel Nishanian described, an important legacy for Hortman. He wrote, perhaps most famously, in that it became more of a national story when Governor Tim Walz ran for vice president last fall. Nishanian observed in a brief thread on Blue Sky after the news of Hortman's murder broke on Saturday morning. Minnesota made school meals free to all children in the state. Minnesota also restored the voting rights of tens of thousands of people in mid-2023, advanced a new paid family and medical leave plan for state residents, eliminated prison gerrymandering for future election cycles. Prison gerrymandering is essentially the practice of counting incarcerated people where prisons are located for the purposes of redistricting, which skews power toward these more rural areas typically, even as most, if not all, of those incarcerated are not allowed to actually participate in elections. Under Hortman's leadership in 2023, a big deal on criminal justice reform, Nishanian cites, the state banned life without parole sentences for children. Yes, apparently we used to have life without parole sentences for children. And this measure affords people who were incarcerated under that the chance to seek relief retroactively. They also passed, the Minnesota legislature did, a state-level Voting Rights Act in 2024, a bill with stronger clean energy mandates, and within weeks of taking control of the legislature, half a year after the corrupted U.S. Supreme Court majority overturned Roe v. Wade in its Dobbs decision, Minnesota Democrats in 2023 pushed through legislation to enshrine the right to access abortion into the Constitution, and much more in what, as I said, along with the leadership of Governor Tim Walz, has been described as the Minnesota miracle after Democrats in the state regained a trifecta control of the state House, Senate, and governor's office. State Rep. Melissa Hortman oversaw all that, made all of that happen with an incredibly small margin in the state House. Democratic Governor Tim Walz described the Saturday killing of the Democratic State Rep. Hortman as a, quote, politically motivated assassination. He called Hortman the most consequential speaker in state history. She was killed along with her husband, Mark, at their home just after the gunman, dressed as a police officer, shot another lawmaker, Democratic State Senator John Hoffman, 9 times, and his wife Yvette, 8 times at their home. By some miracle, both of the Hoffmans, while still in critical but stabilized condition right now, somehow survived the attack. Hoffman was first elected state senator in 2014 and was in his fourth term, according to his state legislature website. He has co-authored dozens of bills this legislative session, including on long-term care facilities and whistleblower protections. The Minneapolis State Star Tribune reports that when police searched the suspect's vehicle in this case, they found 3 AK-47 assault rifles, a 9mm handgun, and a list of names and addresses of other public officials. AP reports that about 70 largely Democratic and pro-choice politicians, as well as addresses for businesses and Planned Parenthood locations, were found in the writings that were discovered from the fake police vehicle that was left at one of the crime scenes when the police showed up in the middle of one of the shootings. The writings and list of names included prominent state and federal lawmakers and community leaders, along with abortion rights advocates and information about healthcare facilities. Some elected officials acknowledged that law enforcement had told them that they were, in fact, on the list as the two-day manhunt unwound over the weekend, including Minnesota's U.S. Senator Tina Smith, the state's Attorney General Keith Ellison. The attacks prompted warnings to other state elected officials as well, and the cancellation of some planned No Kings demonstrations against Donald Trump in the state. Though some did go ahead anyway, including one that drew tens of thousands of uncowed demonstrators to the streets of the state capitol in St. Paul. which was very impressive at a moment like that after the assassination and the assassination attempt of two state lawmakers, and a guy who officials had made it known had flyers, no King flyers in his car. They canceled, in theory, some of the main marches in Minnesota because police that wanted to use the resources to, you know, track this guy down. Plus, he had essentially issued a threat to the protesters. But the protesters came out in force anyway in St. Paul, Minnesota. hopefully, some of them are our listeners on AM 950 KTNF.
Yes, there. I hope so. Turns out courage is contagious, and they made a big showing.
Friends and former colleagues interviewed by AP described the suspect in this case as a devout Christian who attended an evangelical church and went to campaign rallies for President Donald Trump. Surprised? His Minneapolis roommate and childhood best friend described him as a, quote, strong supporter of Donald Trump and, by the way, also a fan of Alex Jones's InfoWars. Is anyone in the nation surprised by any of that? On Sunday afternoon, Trump told ABC News in a phone interview that he, quote, may call Governor Tim Walz about the targeted attacks, the murders, the assassinations in Minnesota against elected officials, Democratic elected officials, though apparently Donald Trump had not called the governor by then, by Sunday. He said, quote, well, it's a terrible thing, before adding, while the manhunt for the shooter was still on, he said about Tim Walz, quote, I think he's a terrible governor. I think he's a grossly incompetent person, but I may call him. I may call other people, too. The president of the United States.
Classy.
Walz, the state's popular two-term Democratic governor and last year's Democratic candidate for vice president, confirmed that the president had not, in fact, phoned him by Sunday afternoon. I don't know if he ever has. But that was a full day after state lawmakers were targeted by a Trump supporter. As the search for the killer continued on Sunday, by the way, in St. Cloud, the CentraCare Health System said in a statement that on the social media platform owned by Elon Musk, his AI bot, which is called Grok, had falsely linked the shooting to one of their doctors with the same last name as the suspect. So artificial intelligence made by Elon Musk was out there putting out lies as well. Well, I guess in the tradition of Elon Musk, after all. After a two-day manhunt that left much of Minnesota on edge, 57-year-old Vance Luther Belter was captured crawling through a cornfield late on Sunday night, about 30 minutes southwest of the Twin Cities. He was charged in the assassination of former State House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and the attempted assassination of State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. On Monday, the Department of Justice announced federal murder and stalking charges against Belter, as federal officials explained that the alleged assailant visited the homes of four different state lawmakers during his killing spree with the intent to kill them.
And this was a political assassination, which is not a word we use very often in the United States, let alone here in Minnesota. It's a chilling attack on our democracy, on our way of life. It's only the most recent example of violent political extremism in this country, and that's a trend that's been increasing in recent years, and that's unfortunate. And I hope it's a wake-up call to everyone that people can disagree with you without being evil or needing to be killed or hurt.
That wake-up call, however, came long ago, I should note, for many of us, including even for Donald Trump's own now former but then FBI Director Christopher Wray, who made clear back in 2019 that the greatest threat to the homeland was not, in fact, immigrants to this country, but in fact was from homegrown extremists from the right. Got that clip?
Don't worry about it.
And I will say that a majority of the domestic terrorism cases that we've investigated are motivated by some version of what you might call white supremacist violence, but it includes other things as well. I think the greatest terrorist threat to the homeland is the homegrown violent extremists.
The homegrown violent extremists, they are the greatest threat to the homeland. Not Donald Trump's imaginary roving bands of violent migrants. Not the migrant farm workers or the day laborers that they pick up at Home Depot. Not even the supposed immigrant gang members. But in fact, the FBI director selected by Donald Trump felt that homegrown violent extremists were the great concern. And that was as far back as 2019. More on America's response to Donald Trump's thuggery and his incitement of domestic political violence in a moment, and perhaps with your calls at 818-985-5735 if you'd like to ring in on any of this. But beside the manhunt and the marches and Trump's military parade, Israel launched yet another seemingly all-out war, an attack on Iran late on Friday night, seemingly giving a bit of a middle finger to Donald Trump, as the administration had planned on holding talks with Iran the following day after Trump has been begging Iran to take a deal to limit its nuclear production that was almost identical to the hard-won international deal that was won by the Obama administration with Iran. And a number of other countries, which Donald Trump subsequently tore up when he took office the first time, calling it the worst deal ever made in human history or some such nonsense. Now he's begging Iran to take that deal. Even as he, over the past month, has been encouraging Iran to take a deal that is almost identical to the one that had effectively limited Iran's enrichment of uranium years ago, and allowed constant inspection of their facilities. Israel's initial strike on Iran is said to have killed its top three military commanders and two nuclear scientists at least, while Iran has lobbed hundreds of missiles in response at Tel Aviv and Jerusalem in the subsequent days. Most, but not all, of those have been shot out of the sky by Israel's Iron Dome. Israel has in turn continued its punishing attack and is now said to have gained air dominance in the skies above Tehran. In an interesting sidebar to the story, as the U.S. hopes to contain the fighting to prevent an all-out war in the Middle East that might draw U.S. troops onto the battlefield, as reported by Politico, employees of Voice of America's Persian Language Service, who were sidelined by the idiots in the Trump administration, they have all been hastily called back to duty as Iran and Israel exchange missile fire in this high-stakes Middle East conflict. The U.S. Agency for Global Media, which oversees Voice of America and its many sister networks, told employees placed on administrative leave earlier this year to immediately return to their roles, providing counter-programming to Iranian state media as the conflict between the two nations escalated. That according to an email seen by Politico and three people familiar with the situation. Of course, we've been closely covering the absurd shutdown of VOA and its many sister networks around the world since Trump shut it all down back in mid-March. Now, apparently, they've come to understand just one of the reasons why it's so important to have the Voice of America accessible to those in regions like the Middle East.
Irony.
There are 75 full-time employees with the VOA's Persian wing. The language that is predominantly spoken in Iran, and it's believed most, if not all, have now been brought back after being put on administrative leave for 3 months. Patsy Widakuswara, one of the lead plaintiffs in VOA's lawsuit against the Trump administration, said this move is a perfect example of why the entirety of Voice of America should be brought back. Quote, "After months off the air, we've already lost a lot of audience and credibility," she said. She, Widakuswara, is the Voice of America White House bureau chief. She said they should bring us all back so we can respond to breaking news in all parts of the world. quote, "It just shows how idiotic they are," said one VOA employee on administrative leave on the condition of anonymity to speak candidly, describing this latest move as consistent with this firing and rehiring pattern that has cost Americans who knows how many millions of dollars. They said this is the real fraud, waste, and abuse, the source added. In a largely incoherent post on his failing social media site last Thursday morning, following a week of demonstrations in Los Angeles and his deployment of 4,000 National Guard troops and 700 Marines to the street of L.A., which a U.S. District Court judge found to be in violation of the law and Constitution late last week, though that decision is on hold by the appeals court. Trump, in this weird post, suggested that his friends in the hotel and leisure industry, the restaurant business, and those in the farming industry who foolishly supported him over his last couple of elections, well, apparently they had complained about his migrant raids, quote, "taking very good longtime workers away from them," as Trump wrote, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace, he said. So, all of a sudden he understands that there could be a problem with these mass deportations, some of the problems that some of us have been trying to warn him about for a long time. Now that his wealthy friends in the hotel and restaurant business care about it, well, suddenly so does he. Now that he realizes that fruits and vegetables are going to rot across Southern California and anywhere else where he sends his ICE goons to chase them through fields to round them up and send them away, and that that is going to send prices skyrocketing for fruits and vegetables in stores, not just here in L.A., but across the country. Well, now he's like, maybe we should slow that down a little bit. Maybe we should look elsewhere for our mass deportation. Well, it's nice that he got the message. Even if he both blamed Biden for all of that somehow and ignored so many other industries that will grind to a halt if he continues this promised brown shirt roundup of hardworking, non-criminal migrants in this country. He seemed to be claiming that the administration's goons would lay off migrants in those industries. But really, what about the rest of them? Because, you know, his immigration policy chief, Stephen Miller, has demanded that ICE round up a quota of 3,000 migrants a day, criminal or otherwise. So we will see what happens. Trump went back to another incoherent rambling on social media, vowing to expand deportation operations in Democratic-run cities on Sunday, saying, in part, "ICE officers are herewith ordered by notice of this truth," it was on his Truth Social website, "to do all in their power to achieve the very important goal of delivering the single largest mass deportation program in history. In order to achieve this," he wrote, "we must expand efforts to detain and deport illegal aliens in America's largest cities, such as Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, where millions upon millions of illegal aliens reside. These," he says, "and other such cities are the core of the Democrat power center, where they use illegal aliens to expand their voter base, to cheat in elections, and grow the welfare state, robbing good-paying jobs and benefits from hardworking American citizens." All of that is an absolute lie. In fact, they pay into the so-called welfare state, and they take none of that money back. Undocumented migrants arguably keep programs like Social Security afloat. They pay in, but they don't take out. As to the nonsense of expanding their voter base and cheating an election, well, he's just making crap up. That's what he does. He's insane. And nonetheless, Trump goes on to talk about these radical left Democrats, quote, "are sick of mind, hate our country, actually want to destroy our cities." He says there is something wrong with them. He projected against his perceived enemies. Mind you, all of this after Democratic lawmakers had been gunned down in their own homes in the middle of the night just one day earlier.
And again, this is another unprecedented statement from an executive, the president of the United States, very similar to Kristi Noem, this concept that they are explicitly attacking or going after democratically run states and cities. I mean, it's really unprecedented, this partisan threat to send in military troops to only democratically run cities.
At the same time, he said, you don't hear about sanctuary cities in our heartland, in another part of his ramble. Although I suspect the folks listening, again, at AM 950 KTNF in Minneapolis, St. Paul, will be shocked to learn that their so-called sanctuary city in cities in Minnesota are no longer considered a part of Trump's American heartland. Same with the listeners in Illinois, in Wisconsin, and other states, which, yes, turned out folks by the tens of thousands to protest against Donald Trump on Saturday. Perhaps that's why he was so mad on Sunday. That, and the fact that they didn't really show up at his stupid march in D.C. Trump was no doubt annoyed by the huge turnout of folks like you, folks like our listeners around the country in cities large and small, red and blue, protesting against him as millions of Americans marched on Saturday in almost entirely peaceful No Kings protests all across the country. Millions showed up peacefully and joyfully, holding signs calling out Trump's fascist takeover in progress of the U.S. government and his undermining of the rule of law and the U.S. Constitution. Organizers overall, which included more than 100 pro-democracy organizations, estimate that more than 5 million people participated in more than 2,100 rallies nationwide. So maybe that's why he was upset. Or, perhaps he was sad on Sunday comparing those rallies by way of contrast with his low-energy, sparsely attended military parade that Donald Trump threw for himself, spending at least $40 million of your taxpayer dollars to do so for his birthday. That parade by active duty members of the U.S. Army on the same day as the U.S. Army's 250th birthday, though the parade was not for them, it was for Donald Trump, because he turned 79 on Saturday. Now, how do I know it was not for the U.S. Army? Well, because the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Marines, they are also celebrating their 250th birthday this year. Not on Trump's birthday, and so there has not been a grand parade announced in D.C. for those branches of the U.S. military. Go figure. While Trump's parade, by most accounts, was a clunker with empty grandstands and people leaving early, spirits were high at protests around the country. As noted, they were almost entirely peaceful, with very few, if any, arrests at most of them. Some violence did mar the demonstrations, however, in some towns. For example, a man brandishing a rifle at protesters in Salt Lake City, Utah, was shot himself, along with a bystander who tragically died later at the hospital after a member of a peacekeeping team for the protest shot at the alleged rifleman, injuring him but killing the bystander. The rifleman, who is accused by authorities of having sparked the incident, was taken into custody. It's believed that the peacekeeper may have prevented a larger mass casualty event. Outside the Arizona State House, a social media video showed protesters Saturday jeering at and then skirmishing with a masked man who eventually pulled out a handgun, causing this crowd to scatter. Another video showed Arizona Department of Public Safety officers taking that man into custody. In Riverside, California, out here east of Los Angeles, authorities said a driver of an SUV struck a woman who was participating in a demonstration and then sped away. The woman had, quote, significant injuries, but was stable, police said, adding that they were still searching for the driver. So as noted, almost entirely peaceful, except for where apparent Trump-supporting counter-protesters caused violence. And in one other place, here in Los Angeles, I will explain. The day was very peaceful and joyful here in L.A., even with Trump's invasion of the city by nearly 5,000 members of the military, at least until police, seemingly out of nowhere and hours before the rally was to end, or the city's evening curfew in about a square mile of downtown was to have kicked in, they began, the local police began turning on the crowd of peaceful demonstrators, young and old, black and white and brown, citizens and non-citizens alike that day. And while I didn't personally witness the moment, every single report that I have seen from major media outlets like The Times and AP and Reuters to independent media outlets and personal accounts all suggest that suddenly local law enforcement officials declared for some reason an unlawful assembly without notice at about 4 p.m. and turned on the crowd on horseback with flashbangs and tear gas, etc. You may have seen it differently if you were there. Either way, I'd love to hear from you at 818-985-5735 today. I'll get to the calls momentarily. As our friend David Dayan of the American Prospect brilliantly described the scene in L.A. on Saturday afternoon after tens of thousands, if not more than 100,000, had enjoyed a sunny day of singing and dancing and marching in protest of ICE and Trump's military troops on the streets of their city. David writes, until about 4 p.m. on Saturday, law enforcement was mostly peaceful. We've seen this pattern before. By day, the officers are generally calm, only for a bad element to come out at night and commit violence. For a while, it looked like, for once, there would not be any unrest. But then agitators had to stir things up, and by agitators, I mean the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. For the past several nights, writes Dan, there's been a curfew downtown set at 8 p.m., and the violent element, the police, have been creeping up enforcement of that curfew bit by bit, night after night. Saturday, he says, they must have wanted to get the battering over with and go home early, so after the massive No Kings protest that began around 10 a.m. with between 30,000 and 100,000 people, depending on the estimates, swarming downtown, the agitators in the sheriff department got antsy that not enough people vacated the Civic Center area quickly enough. The agitators then just called a dispersal order at 4 p.m., 4 hours before the curfew was to begin. They claimed, as they'll do, that they were provoked by people throwing rocks and bottles. David Dayan says, I can't say this was 100% a lie, but given my own experience and hours of documentary evidence, my confidence level of that lie is 99.9%. And David is not alone there. That's what uniformly every media outlet seemed to be reporting about what happened. He says, so the agitators started shooting their so-called less lethal weapons. He says, for the sin of staying too long at a protest, people were stung with rubber bullets, charged by sheriff's deputies, mounted on horses, smacked with wooden batons, and in some cases trampled. The problem, he says, for these agitators is that their attacks reached another violent gang, the LAPD, which, over police scanners, complained of getting hit by the rubber bullets fired by the sheriff's office. This gang was busy dispersing the crowd on another side of the federal building, tossing tear gas and other munitions into the crowd. But then the wind shifted and the sheriff's department agitators started taking the tear gas. Dayan says there's no other way to write this story. Scenes of defiance against Donald Trump, against ICE, against oligarchical capture of the government were marred by out-of-control, heavily armed delinquents who broke the law and happened to be carrying badges while doing it. But hey, you may have seen it differently. If so, give me a call, 818-985-5735. If you participated in the weekend demonstrations in any way, I'd love to hear from you. Why did you go? What did you see? How do you feel about Kristi Noem, Trump's Homeland Security Secretary, vowing to liberate this city from its elected leaders? Would you like to be liberated by the Trump administration? 818-985-5735. Give me a call over what are, for now, still your public airwaves. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and the Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
What does democracy even mean?
No change!
Slap tariffs on the people like he playing blackjack, but his mob taxes please those who not brown or black. Squeeze a small biz drive while his cronies get fatter, building houses and cars like he's the Mad Hatter. Turn the White House into quid pro quo central. His peons kiss his ass, he must have drove them mental. He sent troops to Cali like it's 1968, claiming law and order while he stokes up the hate. Brought the boots, brought the drones, trying to crush the dissent. But we the people standing up, yeah, this here our government.
No crowns, no thrones, no rings. Just a self-righteous thing of late. Tanks in LA, tear gas screams.
As every move he makes to cover his schemes.
He bullies every rival like a playground punk. Calling names from his perch with his hands so shrunk. Judges gag laws bent. Democracy bleeding while he winks at the tyrants. Drifting jets and succeeding. Foreign cash flowing in. Flags start to blend. Put a price on our flag. Sold our soul in the end. He ain't a leader, just a dealer with a colostomy bag. Pushing dictatorship as his man boobs sag.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Donald Trump continues to repeat over and over again, if I didn't send the military into Los Angeles, that city would be burning to the ground right now. We saved L.A., said Donald Trump. Is that what you think? Did you go to the No Kings protest over the weekend? How'd they go? 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Casey in Norwalk. Casey, is this KCP?
This is KCP. Is this Brad, Brad F?
This is Brad F. Casey, I should note I call KCP because regular listeners to this program will notice that sometimes we play bumper music and give a hat tip to Casey, who sends us the perfect music for anything that might be happening on any particular day. Hey, Casey, how are you, brother? Thanks for calling in.
I'm fine. First, I want to say that the two of you guys, you have to understand, you're on the front lines in this. Do you understand that?
Are we?
Yeah, believe me, you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, you know, it's the media. It's you guys, and that's it. The politicians are all with Trump. The colleges are caving over. Everybody's caving over for him, and you're still fighting.
Well,
God bless you guys.
Well, I will disagree with you only as far as to say, some of the politicians we've lost, et cetera. But it is not just us. It is us and the backing of millions of people who are out there who were, in fact, marching across this country. We are with the people. We are not alone here by any measure, my friend.
I understand, but you are I don't want to say a megaphone or a loudspeaker, but you reach more people than we do individually. That's what I want to say.
Fair enough. I appreciate it. By the way, did you go to any of the protests over the weekend?
I was there in Anaheim on Saturday. It started late at 4 o'clock. It took me an hour to get the parking.
Uh-huh.
It took me half hour. It took me 15 minutes or so to walk to the event, and I was dead.
Yeah.
But I was there. It was great. It was peaceful. Traffic was just jammed, but not because of anything that the protesters were doing. There were just that many people there. We had people driving by giving us bottles of water, throwing snacks at us, not in a violent way. They were, you know, just trying to throw snacks to support us. You know, it was just wonderful, wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to hear it and glad to document that for history. It's one of the reasons I wanted to hear from people who were at the protest. Thanks for checking in, Casey. Really appreciate it. Always great to hear from you via email, bradcast@bradblog.com. Thank you for all that you do for this program, whether you know it or not, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Likewise, and God bless you guys.
Thank you, brother. All right. Let me go to, if I ever figure out how to work these phones, let me go to Justine, I think, in West Hollywood. Hey, Justine,
yes,
welcome to the Bradcast.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I want to say, I was in West Hollywood. It was a peaceful protest. Everyone was fine, very nice, very helpful.
You said that was West Hollywood?
as West Hollywood on San Vicente.
Yep.
But my only other thing is, why isn't Christine Ohm already in jail for killing her dog?
Well, you know, she's from South Dakota.
Besides everything else she's doing.
Yeah.
And all the lies that kill me.
Yeah. I don't even know if they have laws against puppy murder in South Dakota. I assume they do, but, you know,
she's
the governor.
I'm sorry. Both should also be in jail.
What's that?
They both should be in jail.
Yeah.
They should both be in jail, rotting.
Working on it. Thanks, Justine. I'm glad you, thanks for checking in. I'm glad you went out to the protest. I'm glad it was all peaceful and delightful and joyous,
I'm afraid for all those people because he's obviously trying to hide the fact that he was with Jeffrey Epstein, and who knows if he was a pedophile and if he did do anything. I'm sure he did because he's already a racist and a rapist.
That's
what I think of Trump.
Thank you for that call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Justine. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Harold in Santa Barbara. Hey, Harold. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. Oh, Harold.
Hello.
Hello, Harold. How are you, sir? Are you
good?
Are you running with a gang of horses? Yes, go ahead.
The Republicans always do long-term planning.
Yes.
Do you think they're trying to bring back the Bracero program so they don't have to worry about any type of permanent residency, and this will provide the necessary seasonal workforce?
We're going to talk a little bit. Turn him down a little bit, Wendell, between... thank you. You got a weird phone there, Harold. I'm hearing some weird noises. But we're going to talk a little bit about it later this week on the show. Yeah, they are doing something. Donald Trump actually said this in one of his unhinged tweets last night. He talked about the word remigration, which is a far-right code word. Essentially for ethnic cleansing. Yes, they plan to get rid of every migrant in America, every non-citizen, and, by the way, naturalized citizens. That's what this word you're going to begin hearing more and more of, remigration, actually means, as it's used now across Europe by the far-right neo-Nazis. It has now come to America, Harold. So, yeah, I think they're going to do all of that. Buckle up. Find a protest near you, sir.
Yeah, well, the other question, if I may, is the use of Homeland Security fits just what you said. Or
yep.
Homeland, I apologize, just the word homeland.
Yep. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Thank you.
This is not new. We've been warning about it for years. Thank you, Harold. I appreciate it. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Mark down in Long Beach. Hey, Mark, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Oh, Brett. I went to the protest down on Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you how many people there. They were, you know, Bixby Park was the center of it, and it stretched up and down Ocean Boulevard. Very lively crowd, and I wanted to try to relate some of the signs I remember, such as "Crush Ice, Make America Cool Again."
There you go.
And another one. It went like this: stupid, callous, fragile, sadistic, and I forgot the rest.
Yeah.
But you get the gist.
I do. There was a Randy Rainbow song to that name. Super, callous, idiotic, something. Yes, exactly.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good. And tell me, Mark, why did you decide to go to the to Long Beach to that protest? What was the thing that had to?
Why? It's America.
Yeah,
you know, had to.
Well, you didn't have to. A lot of people chose to stay home.
Couple more signs.
Yeah. Okay.
Couple more.
Right.
Yeah. One was birds of a feather, Benedict Rump, Adolf Netanyahu, Yahoo, and. Elon Exploder Musk.
Okay. Good Lord.
Because we're waiting for them rockets to explode. He keeps launching them over our town.
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah.
It's going to make the fires of earlier in the year look like nothing.
Mm. Oh, yeah, if they come crashing down out there. Good point.
All those fireballs that burn at thousands of degrees, not hundreds, because they come from liquid oxygen and jet fuel kerosene, and then they have hydrazine in the second stage, which is a it's deadly just on its own. Anyway.
Yep.
Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. And thank you for turning out for the protest down in Long Beach. Let's go to Hal in Huntington Beach. Hey, Hal. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hello, Hal.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
How'd you like to get rid of Trump overnight?
What do you have in mind, Hal?
If you get the Epstein files released,
yeah,
they'll find out he's been sleeping with underage girls, 9 and 10 year olds, mm-hmm. and maybe boys.
Yeah,
and his right wing conservative Christian base will melt away, and they'll force all his followers, his minions, to fold up their tents and go home.
Well, I will. Oh, did he hang up on us there? Hang on. Let me drop that call. Did I do that right, Des? Do I have Mark? Anyway, I'm all confused. Here's what would happen overnight if, in fact, they release the Epstein files. MAGA, both MAGA and his right-wing Christians, would find a reason to decide that that was just fine by them and that, oh, I don't know, Hillary Clinton made Donald Trump do it. Or, sure, there's a video of it all, but that's all just AI that those terrible radical Democrats do. Believe me, they will come up with any excuse for this guy. So if you're waiting for something to happen to make those people fall away, I'm afraid it's never going to happen. Not en masse, but maybe piece by piece by piece as they are looking. Many of these folks, many of these MAGA folks who actually, you know, took Donald Trump at his word, took him at his word that, you know, he believed in a small government, that he wanted to protect the forgotten men and women of this nation, only to see, oh, doesn't really care about states' rights, wants to deploy the U.S. Marines to states and towns near you, wants to come and, come into your restaurants, your schools, your hospitals, your farms. Don't believe him that he's not going to go and take away farm workers. Of course he is. He's coming everywhere. At least that's what he promised in his unhinged rant on social media last night. Anyway, 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Dave in Venice. There we go. Hey, Dave, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Dave.
I just wanted to say that we had our No Kings protest in Venice, even though we weren't listed by No Kings.
Okay.
And it went pretty well.
We had
about 20 people, real Venetians, cycle through, not the hater gentrifiers in Venice here. We had them cycle through. And I wanted to tell you that we also have our own cop wannabes driving around in black Crown Vicks, acting like they're police in Venice. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so we have that, and but we're not the haters. So we're the ones that want to see Trump out.
What made you feel like
we had signs?
What made you feel like you wanted to take to the streets, Dave, on Saturday?
What do you mean? It's Trump. He's the big problem here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we wanted to, and we had signs that said "No King since 1776, and he's a thief and a liar," and we had other things like that. So,
well
that's
done.
What we had on at our demonstration.
Excellent, thank you, Dave. I appreciate you checking in from Venice. Thank you, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Simon in Silver Lake.
Hi,
here in LA. Hey, Simon, how are you? What do you say?
I'm fine,
Simon?
Thanks. So I attended the protest in Los Feliz. I arrived about 11:30 a.m. with a friend, and I stayed till about 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It was so peaceful, considering how many people were out there.
Yeah.
It was, we were there for a serious occasion, but it still felt kind of joyful to see people coming together there peacefully. The signs were profane, creatively profane. I didn't see any police at all. Maybe there were some, undercovers, I don't know. But there was really no need from what I saw. It was so fairly well run. I mean, there, you know, at the beginning there was someone with a loudspeaker who gave us a few pieces of advice. Mm-hmm. You know, basically don't block the roads, et cetera.
Right.
And I saw, some other people wearing traffic, something in orange,
right.
Kind of, you know, guiding people to stay on the sidewalk.
Good.
And that was really it. So it was very lightly managed, but people were cooperative
Have you had protests like that in Silver Lake before? And have you gone to other protests like that before?
Well, yes. I mean, I went to, three in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And then was in Pasadena, then I took the Gold Line and I walked around downtown. This was a protest that about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first one that they had in Los Feliz recently. It was on the corner of Hollywood and mm-hmm. Vermont. I'll go to that one again.
Bringing them home. I'm glad to hear that because I've been warning people that, ICE and the thugs are coming to a city or town near you. Let's hope the protests are as well in every city in America. And it seems like we came close, man. 2,100 different rallies over the weekend. Amazing. Thanks for checking in, Simon. Greatly appreciated. Glad all went well over the weekend. Do I have time for, I haven't heard. Is this Mo? Is this R. Morris? I haven't heard from him in a long time. Hope he's okay. Oh, Mo in Long Beach, how are you, sir? Did you go out to the protests over the weekend in Long Beach? But start over. Say it again, Mo. Couldn't hear you.
I did not attend because I was afraid the government might take my Social Security from me. I'm just kidding you, Bradley. But this is what I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
The United States President and the Prime Minister of Israel have one thing in common. They should be in prison, not in power. All right, Bradley, that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Mo. Good to hear from you, my friend, and greatly appreciated. Of course they should. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today, I think, right? All right. Rollicking afternoon, rollicking show after a rollicking weekend. I would not mind if things slowed down at all. I'm just saying. All right, got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you, our callers and democracy champions, for joining us for today's program. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download it anytime for free at bradblog.com, and you can drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. You'll find me on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, at The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Sorry I couldn't get to everyone today. We will try again in the days ahead. I'm Brad Friedman. See you tomorrow. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.